You are listening to CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner.
Good morning and welcome to CEO Minutes. I'm Jim Reese, Director of Business Development at Offutt Kerman, and I'm joined today with Jennifer Bodenseek, President and CEO of Junior Achievement of Central Maryland. Jennifer, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Start us off and tell us, what does Junior Achievement of Central Maryland do?
Thanks, Jim, for having us. Really appreciate the opportunity. Junior Achievement is all about inspiring the next generation for the future of work. And we're excited to work with over 40,000 young people in the region in Central Maryland, really focused on financial education, building work readiness skills, helping them explore careers, and really helping our next future entrepreneurs get started.
I noticed in your biography that you've actually worked at different junior achievement locations with different roles. So tell us a little bit about, what was your journey like to get where you are now?
Well, I actually started out as a high school teacher. That was what I was trained to do, is be in marketing education, where young people would work part of the day and I would really be teaching kids about business. Graduated from Virginia Tech and decided, how do I really connect kids with business if I myself have not really been in the business world? So spent about 5 years working for then Nations Bank, now Bank of America, multiple states and multiple roles, had great experiences with them. Moved to Maryland and decided I really wanted to try to really get back into education, but use my business skills. And so, believe it or not, 20 years ago, started working with Junior Achievement right here in Baltimore. Moved with them in multiple roles on the national level, on the worldwide level, in Washington, D.C., had a short hiatus at Johns Hopkins and really learning how their development and resource generation department works. And then my predecessor, about a decade later, decided to retire. So it was time for me to take the reins here in Baltimore and really drive it forward.
Wow, so teaching JA National, JA International, Johns Hopkins, DC. What would you say are your biggest business accomplishments during this time?
You know, early on, I had the opportunity when I went to the national office to really take our capstone experiences, our facility-based experiences that we have, and really grow those across the country. So had the opportunity to work with boards and executives from, you know, from California to Iowa, and really helping them from soup to nuts, really deciding whether they were going to build these learning facilities for young people in their region, helping them from capital campaigns to seeding it to opening the doors. And so early on, that was a huge accomplishment for me. Locally, it has, in the last 5 years or so, really spearheading a capital campaign to take our current facility that we had here for youth workforce and really expanding it. So going from a 12,000 square foot facility that we had for nearly 20 years here in Baltimore to a 30,000 expanded youth workforce and innovation center right here in the region, to really be a connector for education and business, really to showcase what talent we have right here in the region.
Let's talk a little bit more about the new facility.
The new facility, we're really excited about it. It is a regional youth workforce and innovation center, 30,000 square feet of interactive, hands-on space for young people from age really 9 all the way through high school. It has two 10,000 square foot learning labs. It will also have multi-use space for the community. We will be in the South Baltimore area in the Lansdowne community. So really building a youth presence in that community, also being able to connect regionally with state officials, local officials, education, and really our corporate, so many of our corporate partners. I mean, we couldn't make this happen without so many of our corporate sponsors, Stanley Black & Decker, Truist, Allegis Group, were really seeded the center for us. And so over the last 5 years, really raising a little over $3 million to make this come to life. We'll open the doors in early 2021.
I've been fortunate enough to visit the new facility a couple of months ago, and it is very impressive, and it's very accessible for people to get to. And I know you're servicing the school children. It should be easy for them to get to. I wanted to mention that in addition to the description you gave of the new space, there's some event space there that's fantastic. That includes an auditorium with walls that open up to an event space. I think it's terrific, and it's sorely needed in the area. So kudos to you guys for thinking of that. I'm curious, you know, usually when we talk to CEOs, we ask them what's different about their company than their competition. I'm not sure if you consider other nonprofits competition, but I'm curious whether JA of Central Maryland is the same as the other junior achievements in other regions. Is there a playbook that you follow, or are you doing things that maybe you're ahead of the class compared to other junior achievement locations?
Sure, Jim. I think, you know, from a junior achievement perspective, we are really guided by our local board of directors, Jim. I mean, as a member of our board, you help shape and inform what that looks like here in the region. And we're so excited about that, because what we have the ability to do is take programming that is nationally researched, is created, is tested, but really translate what does that mean locally. And so a lot of times we look at it as, you know, they're fixed programming that our schools or our after-school partners can take, and they can take right out of the box, or, you know, now online very easily, to those that are freestyle or flexible, that we can really mold those to what our communities need. You know, right now it's about really letting young people explore what workforce looks like. What are those career opportunities? That is a big need in our region, our state, to prepare the next generation and really for high demand jobs that are in the region, whether it be tech, whether it be manufacturing, bioscience, making sure that young people are even thinking about those careers. And that's something that's a high need here that we can create. And that's one of the really catalysts of the new center, is really bringing workforce and education together there.
Which is what we really need. I think I know the answer to this, but when it comes to Junior Achievement of Central Maryland, what are you most proud of?
You know, I'm most proud of the team and everybody pulling together, you know, especially during the times of COVID. I think what we've been able to do as a team is really look at the opportunities. We've been able, you know, we are very much a program that is hands-on and experiential in nature, and how do you translate that into an online or virtual environment? And the teams really rallied together to really fit the needs of our constituents and our students, and meet them where they are, where their families are, and whether that's providing tools and resources for school systems, after-school partners, at home. That's really, we've really embraced the opportunity, and have really looked at this as an opportunity to expand, not only once we're able to open our facility up and see kids in person, but really be able to expand our programming to reach that we not necessarily have been able to do, more so on the Eastern Shore and communities like Kent and Queen Anne's that we reach, Western Howard County and the Garrett and Allegheny regions that, you know, traditionally getting there by foot may not have been as accessible. Now we can really reach those. And so, you know, it's really the team being able to pull together. I mean, this year we will still reach over 30,000 young people in the region.
What have you done to help recruit and retain great team members? You were talking about your team, and why would someone want to work for Junior Achievement of Central Maryland?
Sure. You know, I think it's about flexibility. It is meeting our associates, again, where they are. You know, everyone has different needs. They have different challenges or opportunities that they have in their own family lives. And I think we've really been able to meet them where they are. You know, I think the beauty of coming to work in a nonprofit setting is really having the flexibility, but working on projects that you never thought you'd have a chance to work on, or work with people you never thought you'd have a chance to work with, and really bringing the work experiences to life for young people. So, you know, I think when we look at attracting talent, it is being able to share the flexibility. When we certainly work hard, we definitely have a lot of moving parts between our business partners and our corporate partners and our school system and educator and student partners, but Really having that flexibility and really trying to give people meaning when they come to work every day. A lot of people come to work for JA just because it gives them purpose. They feel like they're making a difference every day.
If you could change one thing about JA of Central Maryland, maybe something recent or not, what would that be?
I think any nonprofit would share, you know, we're always trying to open the doors to more resources, more partners coming to the table to help move us forward. You know, I think it's really important for us as the nonprofit sector to really look at how do we partner? How do we partner effectively with other nonprofits, with other corporate partners or institutions to really drive missions forward at scale? I think so many times we have opportunities out there, but we may not be able to scale because we're not thinking outside the box to really collaborate and think about how do we mutually meet the needs of our constituents in a greater way.
I'm sure people watching and listening would like to know how you spend your day with the moving parts that you just mentioned, so many moving parts, the staff, the kids, the pandemic, the new facility. How do you spend your day?
Well, as many, I'm sure, executives, you spend pretty much a lot of the day on Zoom, online calls every hour. It is a lot of moving parts. However, I think at the same time, we've been able to connect with partners in different ways, you know, where people are slowing down a little bit while it seems like a hectic day-to-day, hour by hour. You are being able to connect with members of the community in a different way that you may not have done in a non-pandemic. People seem to be slowing down a little bit more meaningful in the conversations and connecting in a different way. But it is certainly between, you know, not only just operations, you know, how do we operate? How do we make sure we're fiscally responsible as we work through short-term and long-term from a pandemic perspective, motivating the team and making sure that they feel valued and are moving the mission forward, especially in a time where we can't see each other day-to-day, face-to-face. And then just dealing with the drastic change of the education system. In every education system we work with is a little bit different. We work with 12 public education systems. We work with private schools. We work with homeschools. We work with other after-school partners. And so really trying to juggle and meet those partners where they are, because it's drastically changing for sure.
Speaking of change, post-pandemic, how do you see Junior Achievement of Central Maryland changing in the next couple of years, let's say? And how do you see your role in helping create that change?
I think a lot of it is around how do we effectively use this opportunity. And in some ways, as I mentioned, we're able to expand programming in an online environment. And I would expect when post-pandemic, it's going to be a blend. So how do we reach those communities that may not have been able to access our tools or resources more available to them in a different way? And so that's going to push our team in a different way. So not only are we looking at physical environment, opening up this 30,000 square foot center to see over 40,000 visitors a year, but also how do we take that opportunity that we've been given and creating some really robust online interactive programming and get it out to make sure that communities that may not be able to physically access us can access us in a different way. And so certainly I think that will be a big challenge for us to look at different ways. I think you've got parent and caregivers that are much more engaged in what's happening at the schoolhouse or how their children are learning. That is a different way of communicating versus communicating through a school system environment. How do we communicate with those parents and caregivers about resources that we have as well for them?
Share with us what you see as opportunities and challenges in the next couple of years.
Sure. I think, you know, right now, I think the challenge is the unknown. Long-term, you know, short-term, we've been able to weather the pandemic. It's certainly not easy, and we've had to make tough decisions. It's what's the outlook on the long-term? 90% of our funding is coming from corporate partners and business partners. Obviously, I think our mission is very relevant when we talk about workforce, retraining, getting people ready, financial capability. You know, there's many people that have found themselves, even after the recession, still not even any better off. And so Those are things that we will have to manage on the long term, is what does that fiscal piece look like, and making sure that we can meet the needs that are out there and make sure we can effectively do that. The opportunity is really expansion of programming, being able to reach communities that traditionally we may not have been able to reach robustly. They might have a program here at a school because a volunteer took it in and drove it. You know, now we can really scale programming in communities that we may not have been able to scale before. So that would be certainly a huge opportunity for us.
You mentioned funding, and I'm curious, what's the mood of the corporate funders these days during the pandemic with the new building? I think you said a $3 million raise. What's the mood out there with the corporate partners?
I think corporate partners have really stepped up to the table in the region and in Baltimore. I mean, certainly there's been millions of dollars that have come in to the system for COVID relief and for different projects, not only to help basic needs, but definitely we see a shift into education, because education is going to be key, especially when we look at some of the inequities that are out there and the gap that's even growing even greater for many of our young people. So the corporate partners certainly have stepped up. They removed a lot of barriers for nonprofits, less paperwork, which a lot of times we can get really bogged down into paperwork. They have definitely released funds quicker and sooner, more effectively. You know, shift even EFTs, being able to take electronic donations, have been huge. The corporate community has stepped up in every way in that, helping basic needs and taking care of those, but also really helping keep nonprofits sustaining as they move through this difficult time.
Jennifer, let's talk a little bit about you personally. What turning points or influences have shaped your career?
Sure. I'm a big believer in that you make opportunities happen. And I think I've been really fortunate to have multiple different opportunities, not only with Junior Achievement, but even in the corporate sector. And I think some of the turning points was just really seizing an opportunity and taking it and grabbing it and moving it forward. You know, I'm a big believer you're the driver, that you really set the direction. If you don't ask or you don't raise your hand, that's a missed opportunity. And so, I think taking on some of those opportunities that may have been scary or maybe new, and just embracing that has been a big driver for me to get to where I am today.
What do you think most people don't know about you?
Well, I originally...
You were a teacher.
I was a teacher and actually thought originally I was going to be a physical education teacher. I thought I was going to go into sports management. That's really was a big driver for me early on. Sports were, as a young person, whether it be basketball or track, and you really had the opportunity to have some counsel from adult mentors I had along the way that shared, hey, I could still be in education and really work with young people, but also have the business sense as well, and really have a dual role in being able to maneuver between the two.
What do you like to do when you're not working? Are you working all the time?
Well, I don't know as an executive if you're ever not working at some point, but I have two young boys at home, one in middle school and one in elementary school. I spend pretty much a lot of my weekends at the baseball fields, as you can imagine. I have a young man who is very much into baseball, and so we spend a lot of our time at the baseball fields, and that's been fun. Just really seeing the team building nature that happens in sports, and how they evolve just not only physically but personally as they work together on a team and are competitive at the same time. So it's fun to watch.
Takes you back to your passion for sports.
Exactly. Right. I've been known to be a little bit competitive.
Yeah, well, so. we all want to live through our kids, right?
Right.
All right, what one word describes you best?
I would say resilient. I think working in the nonprofit sector, it's always about change. Every day is a little bit different. I think that's one of the beauties of working in the sector is every day is different. You can shape, you can change things the way that you want, move things in a different way based on what your needs of your constituents are and what your mission is. And so I would say that would be, you know, it took us 5 years to find a site for the new center, you know, resilient to really know that this was an opportunity for our young people in the state, in the region, in Baltimore. Just we were at it every day, and trying to find the right location to really bring business and education to really help our young people who are going to be our future leaders here in the state.
Well, congratulations on all of your accomplishments, certainly no less the move to the new facility and being able to service so many kids, 30, 40,000 kids. And as I said before, I think the location is a great location, very accessible, great space for you. So I see lots of growth opportunities.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having us, and thanks for all your support.
This has been CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner. For more information and to tell your entrepreneurial story, visit us on the web at ceominutes.com.